Today, I want to speak to something that is really close to my heart, and it upsets me sometimes as well. And that is when I'm seeing incredibly gifted and capable women not following their heart and passion. I see these women and they have such pearls to give to the world, but they're too frightened to even dare to try. And the reason this is so close to my heart is that I've been like that for the most part of my life, and I know how much it hurts on the inside. I know how painful it is to have something that sets your soul on fire, but being too scared to go for it. Being afraid that it's not gonna work, that you're not good enough to do it, that it's gonna take too much time, that no one is gonna get it when you do that thing that you so much want to do, and so on. And for those of you who feel like they have no idea where their true passion lies, I know how it feels to look at others who seem to be so accomplished and think of yourself as even more inadequate. I have been there. For a very, very long time, I had no idea what my thing was, if I even had a thing. I could see people that, like, from very early on in their life, they knew exactly what they wanted to be, they knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they went for it. And I thought, okay, there must be something really wrong with me, because I don't really know what I want to be when I grow up. Does any of that sound familiar? So let me ask you a question. In your childhood, were you allowed to explore freely? Like, for example, could you play with dirt and make a mess of your clothes without being told off? Or could you make sounds with your voice or objects without being told to be quiet? And I'm not talking about nice music here. I'm talking about sounds, like playing with your voice, playing with sounds. Could you move when you felt the need to, without being told to stop bothering everyone, without being told to settle for a moment and be quiet? All these seem pretty normal things for a parent to tell a child. And yet, all of the above really go against the very nature of a child, especially when they're communicated without explaining a context and only because the parent gives it as the way it is. Because, well, I'm not going to go into that. This is not a parenting podcast. But when you're offered, I know it with my own children, and I've observed that. I have worked with children for many, many years. And when you offer a container with ground rules, that's okay. That's actually really safe. That makes it really safe for the child. But it has to be offered with explanation. It has to be offered in a context of not that's just how it is, but listening to what the child also has to say about it. And it's a conversation. But when that has not been given to you, when that has been like, this is just how it is, that's just the truth, or maybe your parent, your mother in that moment was nervous, was upset for something, and that's just being told, you're being told off, and there's no real reason that is being given or explained, that is ultimately traumatizing. Because learning through exploring, through sensations, through experiencing yourself and the world around you, it's the natural way you would have tried or wanted to learn as a child. That was just the natural way as a child you would have learned. That's how a child goes about it. If you've seen a child, like even when they're very small, they try to feel into their hands, then trying to touch things, they try to put things into their mouth, and as they grow, they make sounds, that and it's an entire process that when it's done right brings us safety into wanting to explore new things. But a mother that can't tune in with her child's needs and can only act out of her own needs will give out. She will say that there is an appropriate and not appropriate way to behave, and she will not spend time listening to her child and the needs that have not been met. She won't take time to explain. She will not make sure the child feels safe. And that is the experience if you've had a narcissistic mother, that more than likely has been your experience growing up. From very, very early on, like you might not even have memories of that at all, but that's just been the way things have been set and established. And then as you grew up, you've got used to it to the point that it seems absolutely normal. And you don't realize how much, you might not realize, I didn't realize for a very long time how much that actually affected me. So what we learned very early on as daughters of narcissistic mothers is what gets us into trouble and what gives us a reward. Which oftentimes, the reward is merely the lack of punishment in itself. It's merely the lack of being told off. What happens on the inside is this. If I behave as she says, she will leave me alone at the very least. I won't be given out to. So we're not anymore following that instinct, that wanting to learn in a way that makes sense. We are doing what keeps us out of trouble as much as possible. With a narcissistic mother, when you tried something new, even as you grew up, you probably got a nasty comment of any kind of put down, like some examples. That's not how you do that. You know, you might try something new and straight away you're told that's not how you do it. I'd show you if you were capable of listening, but you're not. So a put down, you know, I'm a great mother and I would actually help you fixing or doing this better, but you're incapable of improving or doing it better. Another one would be, don't waste your time. You'll never be any good at that. And who do you think will give you the money to do all that? Whether it was a mild or strong put down, because it can go all the way, I'm sure some listening in will know that it can go all the way to physical abuse. So whether it was words, physical abuse, it makes no difference. It's not a hierarchy. Well, I've been mistreated more or less. It's your system still has registered it and stored the information in one of two boxes, safe and unsafe. What is safe to do? What keeps me out of trouble? What keeps me out of the shots? And what's unsafe? What gets me into trouble? What gets me the put downs? What gets me the beating? What gets me the rage, the shouts, the frustration? And the result might look something like this. It is unsafe to be myself. It is unsafe to be confused. It is unsafe to be sensitive and cry. And I have a full episode on that. That the title is Do You Apologize When You Cry? So you can go and look at that. It is unsafe to relax, to express an opinion contrasted my mother. That's very unsafe. It's unsafe to sing, maybe, to create, to try. It's unsafe to try. And it's unsafe to fail. Because if you fail, your mother is going to just reinforce that you are indeed faulty, bad child, a failure. Failing is a mistake, is not anymore viewed just as a part of an experience. It's unsafe to persist. I've been told that very often. If you make one mistake but then you keep going, then you're really, really stupid. And the list goes on and on. So all of this goes in the unsafe box. So things that you will never do again because it's unsafe. That got you into really big trouble before. So how many of the above strike a chord with you? I know that when I first reflected on these, I cried for hours. It was astonishing to me how unsafe I felt in every moment of every day, even as an adult in my entire life, to be myself and to do my own things, to follow my guidance on anything at all, like literally on what am I going to cook for dinner. That sense of anxiety, that sense of pressure, that sense of someone is going to come out of a closet and give out to me was always there, to the point that I didn't know anymore it was there. I actually didn't realize it was there. I thought I was just an anxious person. I would describe myself, oh yeah, you know, I'm just very anxious, like I was born anxious. But I wasn't. And if that is how you feel, if that actually, if you're here going, actually, I feel like that a lot, really, I want you to know you're not alone in this. It is part of the experience of growing up in an environment that is not safe. Now, on the other hand, let's see what goes in the safe box. So we spoke to what goes in what's unsafe. Now let's see what goes into what's safe. And it's a way shorter list. So it's going to be safe to absorb all my mother's beliefs about the world and make them my own. It's safe to stay quiet. It's safe not to stand out. You know, blend in. It's safe to be on my guard at all times. So that anxiety, if you're feeling that, if you have a background tension that goes with you all the time during your day, that is a mechanism, that is a protection mechanism. And it's sort of wise, because when you were a kid, you had to be on your guard at all time. Your mother could come in, she could give out, she could stop you in the middle of something that felt really good and tell you that was really, really, really bad. And so that strategy has worked to keep you safe as a child. And as I've said before, if you've listened to other episodes, that's to be honored, because our system is wise and develops strategies, to help us survive whatever situation we're in. What happens then, that strategy is kept even when it's not necessary anymore. That's when it becomes a pattern and is not useful anymore. So that's what we're here to try and gently, gently let go of. What else is safe? It's safe to assume that if I even try, I will fail, so why bother? It's safe to make excuses, like it would take too much time or too much work or too much money to do whatever I wish I could be doing. And I'm not really good at it anyway, so I won't try. So if you have been telling yourself any of the above, and the list can go on, I want you to know again, that's okay. As I said, those are strategies, they're protective mechanisms. And they served you at some point in your, as you grew up, they really served you. They kept you safe. And I know, because I did that for a lifetime. And I still get caught in those patterns sometimes. Even starting this podcast took time and a lot of holding space for that part of me inside that is scared to be rejected, to fail, to hear my mother telling me that I'm not able and I never will be. So I really get you. I really get you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to actually find something so precious that sets your heart on fire, that sets your soul on fire, and then to go for it when you've received such a training as you were growing up that you are faulty, incapable, and that you shouldn't do things on your own, that your intuition doesn't work, your guidance doesn't work. none of that is working for you, and you have to either always ask permission for your mother, to your mother, or do whatever she says that is approved or not approved. It's a big deal. It is. But we can deal with that. We can totally deal with that. It's not a thing that just because that happened to you, then that's it, you're doomed. That's just how it's going to be for the rest of your life. You're never going to get what you want. You're never going to be able to even consider going for what you want to go for, whatever dream you might have, or even to be allowed to dream. We can deal with that. And how do we do this? So let's start with, how do you get to know what your true passion is? Maybe you don't know. You might not know at all. Like, as I said, me, for so long, I had no idea what my passion was, what my thing was. Or you might be fully convinced that it is one thing, but in fact, you are still caught in what is safe-ish around your mother, or something she would, in a way, accept if you actually went for it. That's another thing. For years, I went on swearing blind that I was so passionate about some things, only because deep down, it was the only topic of conversation I could have with my mother. And even if the nasty comments always came anyways, it was better than if I tried to change subject altogether, and if I really tried to be myself. It was kind of safer, so I could put out this layer of, these are my passions, but they're things I like, but they're not truly like the really precious thing that really sets my soul on fire. I'm going to keep it buried very, 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 very deep inside myself, where she can't reach it and she can't use it to hurt me. And also, it is quite natural to seek connection with your mother. So if you're listening to this and you're still feeling like you want to have conversations with your mother, you want to have some common ground that you can share together, despite her behavior, despite the way she talks to you, that's very natural too. The inner child in one way will always look for connection with your mother. If left completely unchecked, will do anything to get that connection. Because that part of you is still seeking the nurturing that she believes should come from a mother. And should it come from the mother? Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. It kind of should, but at the same time, if it doesn't, we can't really force it. And that was a hard pill to swallow, personally, for me, getting to the point where I accepted that my mother was never going to give me that nurturing that I thought a mother would or should give. And that, again, is part of the process of how we deal with it. We're going to get to it. How do we find another source of that nurturing, that mothering, nurturing energy, instead of sourcing it from the outside, which is like that person that is your mother, that is your biological mother, but she hasn't behaved truly like a mother. And we can source it then from the inside, because we have inside that part, that nurturing, that really nurturing, really nurturing mother energy. It's inside. And it can seem like a big leap if you're new to this, if you've never done any of this work. I know the first time I was told that was like, whoa, I'm never gonna get that. I don't even know even where to start. So we'll go into that in a minute. So going back to whether you know if it's your dream or not, whether you think you have something that you really are passionate, but it's actually still part of what your mother would tell you it's approved. So how to tell the difference between what's really you and what is the result of your mother manipulation. And again, the steps are the same pretty much for if you don't know what your dream is and you want to find out, or if you're confused about whether it is true or is it your mother's wishes, or whether you know exactly which is your passion but you don't feel like you can do it, you don't feel allowed to do it. Pretty much the steps remain the same. So first of all, be kind to yourself. That is the golden rule in all of this process, and it is indeed the golden rule in every process I'm going to be sharing with you through this podcast. Every reflection, everything that you're going to be experiencing, be kind to yourself. And it is the beginning of actually that mothering of yourself the way you deserve. Your mother, she wasn't kind to you. And that's a fact. It hurts. It really hurts. But she wasn't. And that being kind when you, it's like being, you know, if a child takes a tumble, you're going to be nice and kind and you're going to give them a hug and you're going to say it's okay. If a child just uses the wrong word at the wrong time, you're going to just go, that's fine, I'm just going to explain to you how we're going to go about this. If whatever so-called mistakes, you're going to, like a mother, a nurturing mother is going to just come over lovingly and offer you kindness, offer you that nurturing love while she helps you and supports you and explains to you. And this is what we didn't get. Oh, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. So being kind to yourself is the beginning of mothering yourself the way you deserve. And learning that such loving, nurturing energy can come from within you. And it's a sweet and precious energy. And I promise you, it's in there. The next step is to understand that you have been through maternal narcissistic abuse. And you are not inherently bad, faulty, incapable, or guilty as charged, or any of the other descriptive you might use about yourself as a result of that abuse. That's important to understand. You have been through a lot, and you need time and a space within yourself that feels safe so that you can feel safe again. You can experience that safety that you didn't get to experience when you were a child, but you still can get there. You still can get to feel safe. I know I do. I feel a lot safer in a lot more situations that in my everyday life than before. Once I realized how unsafe I felt, that was the first step, really. A big step anyways to understand how to feel safe again. Once you start carving that space within yourself where you can feel safe, so you're mothering yourself, you're being kind, when thoughts come up that are a replay of the patterns that your mother trained into you, when those emerge, when you're just kind to yourself, you go, that's okay, I know where that comes from. And it doesn't control me anymore. It doesn't have to control me. I don't have to follow that story, but I know where that story comes from. And it's okay, and I'm going to be kind to myself. And when waves like that come up, if it's a wave of anxiety, if it's a wave of panic, if it's a wave of sadness, if it's whatever comes up, or anger, frustration, there's plenty. There's a lot of stuff that can come up. And for some of it, I don't even have words to describe it, to be honest. You'll know it when you're in it. Whatever those waves are. And you're also going to be kind to yourself of the fact that they have controlled you for a lot of your life. Your mother influence, even if she's not with you anymore, even if she's not living with you, even if she's passed away, even if she's very far away, those patterns that she has trained into you can have controlled your life up until now, for a big part of it anyways. And it's important to be kind and go like, that's okay too. You can't judge your past self for what she didn't know yet. And now that you're learning, that you're understanding what you have been through, you're really, really getting a good look at it, then you're getting empowered to allow those patterns to gently dissolve. A little bit at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. You'll hear me saying that. It does not happen overnight. It's a process. But you can definitely do that. So, we said be kind to yourself. Understand you've been through maternal narcissism so that you can gently start carving a space where you feel safe again within you. Only then you can go on to the next step, which is beginning to sort true beliefs and conditioning you've received from your mother as you were growing up. This is really important. And chances are the vast majority, if not all of your current beliefs, are actually coming from your mother's view of the world and how she imposed it on you. Again, kind to yourself. Be very kind to yourself. I remember my mentor telling me that when I would start looking into this, I would realize how my mother's influence would have been into everything. And when she told me this, it was like just a theory, you know. It's like, okay, I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, I believe you, I trust you. But as I went on with this work, oh my, it really was true. It really is true. It was in everything. 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 From the bigger beliefs on the world to what I liked, my favorite color, or my, like, everything. There was a part that that choice at some point in my life had been made, that belief had been taken on in order to keep some kind of safety. That I can't even use that word, because safety was never possible around my mother, but protection, yeah, that's the word, protection, to be protected in some way, to be shielded in some way around my mother. So if I could choose things that in some way she would disapprove less of, I would be a little bit more protected. So it's quite the process. There's a letting go of a lot of layers, and the deeper you go into this work, the more you will release. And with each, but the good thing is, that's the good news, is that with each pattern that you let go of, you're making space for your true self to emerge. And that's where the gift lies. Your gift, your passion, your fire is already there. It is within you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. They can't take that away from you. No one can take that really away from you. That spark. But it's like a gem. Imagine like a gem buried in mud. And bit by bit, you will bring it to the light. And let it surprise you and delight you. It could be something completely unexpected. I know for me it was, for sure. And it might also feel scary, and that is okay too. The things that matter, that really matter to us, that feel precious, are often the scariest to go for. Because we feel there's so much to lose if it goes bad. I mean, you're showing your underbelly, and showing your underbelly to your mother was really unwise, was really something not to do. Your mother taught you also that if you're failing, well, you're bad, And that you also will be failing because you're not able. So you can see how, why would you go for the thing that you love the most? That's very vulnerable. That's very, very vulnerable. And that's why it requires time and a space that feels safe. And you see how it makes perfect sense to be scared to go for it. When I see women being so frightened, and they don't even know they're frightened to go for it. They're talking to me and they're telling me all the different reasons, perfectly rational reasons why they definitely should not go for what they really want to. And they're so convinced. There's no judgment here. There's really no judgment. I really know how that feels. And I get it. It makes perfect sense to be so scared. With what you've been told, with how you've been reared, with what you've been through when you were a child, with a mother that was so unaware of what she was doing to you, it makes sense to be scared. It makes perfect sense to have a million valid excuses to justify why you're not doing it. I get it. I really do. I want you to know that because it's important to feel, again, it's important to feel safe and not feeling judged. Well, that goes a long way in supporting your system feeling safe. So I want you to know that I really get it. So again, be kind to yourself as you will go through a grieving process for all that you're letting go. And also for the times that you didn't follow your heart, because as you start realizing that it is actually possible to follow your heart, you're gonna look back and go, all those times I didn't do it. And there's gonna be a grief that comes up. Again, go back and listen to the episode about crying. Do you apologize when you cry? Because tears are part of the process. And if you find that that's something that is challenging for you, I encourage you to listen to that episode too. Because there will be waves of it. And gently learning to hold space for that part of you, the part of you that's grieving, it's very important. And again, that is part of that mothering, the mother that holds you in her arms lovingly when you're crying. I was shouted at when I was crying. I didn't know what it felt to be held by someone when I was crying. So to learn that incredible skill to do that for yourself, to hold space for yourself when you are in a moment of grieving, in a moment of tears, in a moment of sadness, that's really important. And I promise you also that a feeling of exhilaration will follow each wave of grief, and excitement too. That's part of the process when you're letting go, you're grieving. And that's part of it. Yeah, grieving, it's really important. And on the other side of the grieving, there's the excitement for what the new, that part you've let go of has made space for. So yeah, it's a process of waves, of cycles and ups and downs. And it can seem pretty scary to be at the beginning of that and go, whoa, where do I get the courage to do all of this, to go for it? This is a question I get asked quite often. How do you find the courage to go for it? I can tell you for sure that you already have courage in buckets. And I know it because it takes immense courage to be here, to actually listen into this, to be doing the inner work necessary to show up every day after all you've been through. You have tons of courage. You mightn't know that, you mightn't realize that, but you do. And I I really know that. I know I'm not looking at you in the eyes right now, but it is like as if I was, because I can see myself in you. It's like looking in the mirror. I have been there. I have been there, and I have been scared to death. and yet the courage was there. The part that is scared is one part. And then there is another part that is like this incredible, fierce woman. And that part is in you. And by being here, also, it means you have already carved a safe space within yourself that is free somehow from your mother's influence, because you're here listening to this. And that's important too. And the deeper you go, the wider you make that safe space. And the wider that safe space gets, the more of yourself will feel safe to explore, to try, and to experience. And the world will benefit so much, because each one of us expressing fully through our passions and heart brings beauty into this world, brings gifts into this world. This thought has guided me through the worst of it. Maybe it might guide you too. It's not just for yourself that you're doing this. You're actually doing this for the entire world. For the next generations. For your children, if you have children. Or if you're ever planning to have any. So let's go through the steps again, which are actually, as I said, the very same, whether you know what you would love to do from your heart and you're feeling scared and blocked, or you have no idea where your passions lie and you want to find out, the steps remain the same. So step one, learning. Oh, and another thing I want to say, actually, I'm going to give you these steps as if like they're in some kind of linear order from 1 to 5. What I want to say is that it's not so linear. This is just to simplify it for explaining purposes, but they're very much intermingled together, and as I say, they come in waves and in cycles and they mix together. So don't take it as first I have to 100% focus on this part and then on this part. They come together and they really mix. Okay, so, but just to keep it simple, I'm gonna give it to you in like step from 1 to 5. So step one, learning to be kind to yourself every step of the way. And you already see how this goes into everything else. Every step of the way, you gotta be kind to yourself. Learn to unlock that inner nurturing, compassionate mother energy that is within you. Step two, understanding maternal narcissism, and that you are not inherently faulty or incapable. That is that belief is the result of how what you've been told. Step three, sort through your beliefs and separate what is yours from what came from your mother. Being brutally honest. If by the end of this you have zero beliefs that were actually yours and you have to start from scratch, I get it. That's where I was. So that can happen too. Step four, let go and make space for your true self to emerge. Give birth to your new, beautiful, shining self. Step five, hold space for waves of fear and grief, knowing it is part of the process. So again, this happens at every stage of this process. Waves of grief, waves of fear, of anxiety, of sadness, old patterns, they come in any part of this process. And when you're being kind to yourself and accessing that nurturing, mothering energy, you can hold space for that part of you and move on when you're ready. So, of course, having support in all of this is quite key. Personally, in my experience, it was. Having someone who can hold space for you as you go through all the phases and waves is super important. Can you do it on your own? Probably. I'm not gonna say yes or no here because I'm not you. I can only say what I've observed in my own personal experience and what I've observed with all the women I've worked with. I know I have done parts of it on my own, or attempted to, and parts of it with support. And from my experience, I can tell you that when I had the right support, things moved so much better for me. I got a lot deeper, I figured out a lot more, and it was easier too. It felt safer. Being a daughter of a narcissistic mother, I had never felt being held. So I had no idea how to trust being held. I had no idea how to access that nurturing, mothering energy within myself, because I had never seen what nurturing mothering is really. I hadn't experienced it. Like, I had a rational idea of what it should be like. For my part, I think the one big thing that I had was a lot of animals in my life, a lot of beautiful animals, and a lot of mothers in the animal kingdom that I was able to observe and see, oh, that's so nourishing. I mean, what they're doing for their pups or for their kittens or for their little baby horses. And that helped for sure to show me, but it's one thing to see it and it's one thing to have a felt experience. So to have someone that holds space for you, really, that kind of models what your mother has not modeled at all, it's quite important. I found it essential. The first, and it has to be a woman. It made a big difference. I had plenty of mentors that were men along the way, and they taught me lots of incredible things. But it was only when I had the felt experience of being held, emotionally held, even being held physically, like even having a good big hug, but being held emotionally by another woman, that I actually could open up parts that doors within me that I had never opened for anyone else. It's a different kind of healing that happens there. So do not be afraid to ask for help in this. It's worth it, and you deserve all the support you need. You're worth it. You need that support and you deserve it. And you can start with accessing the free love self practice on my website. That is a first start. I know for a long time I was afraid to ask for help, and have something I could do on my own helped me creating that little bit of safety, that little bit of safe space, so that I could then reach out and ask for help. So you know that that's on the website. There's the link in the description of the episode, and you can access that, and start with that. And as you embark on this journey of exploration of your heart's desire, remember that it is okay to be confused, to feel fear, to not know if it's going to work, because no one ever does. It's impossible. The only way is to try. There aren't any crystal balls or fortune tellers that can tell you if it's gonna work or not. You gotta try. And I know that these were all in the unsafe box that we spoke about before, but it's not unsafe anymore. And also that some people won't get you. Like, they won't get you, or they won't get what you want to do. Your mother among them, she might never get it. She might never get it. And it's not personal. Whether your mother gets it or not, or whether other people get it or not, it's not personal, and it doesn't mean anything about you. Everyone has his or her own story and journey. It might mean a lot about where they are at. But if someone doesn't get you, let them. Let them. Your journey is yours and yours alone. And I know, again, that's something that one can say, well, I don't care what other people think about me. I'm just going to do my own things. And that's cute when you're just saying it out loud. and it's a start for sure, but it's only when it gets a true embodied experience, like when your entire body doesn't tense up every time that you think someone is looking at you bad or someone is criticizing you. That's where you're really, really gaining control of your journey, where you're really living your own life. It's an embodied safety that you're feeling, even if other people don't get you. You know that's their experience, not yours. It doesn't have to be yours. Just because your mother doesn't get you or didn't get you, it doesn't mean you're not worthy or capable. So unlock your fullness. Bring forward your nurturing self from within and follow your passion. The world is waiting for you, girl. I know that. And I know that because every woman has it in within themselves that we have so much to give. So much. I know you have so much to give. It's one thing that just really, I know where my passion really is, because when I see women not following their potential, I want to just go like, come on. There's so much beauty in you. I can see it. And you can see it too. And, you know, I say that every time, but it's like a mantra for me, and I'm just going to say that to you. Every woman deserves to feel seen, loved, and alive. That's why I'm here, and that's why you're here too. And so with this, I'm going to leave you. Send you lots of love. Bye for now.